Okay, good morning. Welcome back to our Shabbos Kodesh class learning. First of all, thank you very much to Leah and her family for the change of venue and opening your home to our Chabura. It should be a schus for you for Besoros Tovas and only Simchas and a home of Torah. So, good morning. So, we are on page 12 of the Sefer. We had a very interesting shiur last time. If you missed it, you could catch it online about how Shabbos and Knesset Yisrael are a mate, a match, how they complement each other and fulfill each other. Very in-depth shiur last time based on the Medrash. So, let us, since we didn't do the Sefer last time, which means we haven't been in the Sefer for about a month, because we did the Medrash last time, let's just start at the beginning of the page. We're just going to read through to where it's new material. And before that, we did the Orach Chaim, and the Orach Chaim was about what does it mean that Kli Yisrael is Shomer Shabbos. Okay, we gave a number of different reasons. Shabbos Kodesh is coming to our house. Top page 12. But we are too busy. Hashem himself is knocking at the door. We don't open it. Wait another few minutes. We gave the whole mashal on the parents who come from the train station and the kids say, you know, please wait outside. If we fail to welcome Shabbos and we don't show we care about her, she might decide she has somewhere else to go, so to speak, leaving our home devoid of the Kedusha and Bracha. Some people recite Shir HaShirim when Shabbos begins. This is just a recap of material we've done. What's the idea behind this custom? The main theme of Shir HaShirim is may he kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. As we mentioned, when a mother or father comes for a visit, we give a kiss. When Shabbos comes, we want to express how happy we are that Shabbos is there. Okay, the Kedusha, this is new. The Kedusha of Shabbos completely transforms us and our home. We become like Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, and this is very important for us to understand. And a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash has certain requirements, and we have certain requirements. Interestingly, one of the requirements of the Kohen is, if he serves not in the big day kahuna, he is chayiv misa. A kohen cannot come to the Mishkan, parashas Truma and Tetzaveh, all about the Mishkan. Tetzaveh is about the begadim, asis, a big day kuna, the aron achicha, the kavod, the tiferes. And if he comes and serves in any other clothing, he's chayiv misa. Now, obviously, chalila v'chas, we don't say the same thing about Shabbos, but we spoke about Mordechai Willig dressed on Shabbos. I don't know if anyone remembers, it was a couple months ago, I believe. If we're not dressed for Shabbos, then we're not like kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. So I want to take a break already from the Sefer, because we become like Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, to quote a very, very beautiful piece from Rav Soloveitchik on this idea of we are like the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. So Rav Soloveitchik is commenting on Parshas Vayakel, because in Vayakel, Shabbos and the sanctuary are connected. Moshe gathered the entire assembly of Israel and he said, these are the things that God commanded. The verse uses the plural to introduce the subsequent topics. Ela hadvarim asher tziva Hashem. These are the things. Therefore, immediately after, the Torah describes Shabbos. So you're in the parashas to talk about Mishkan, Truma Tetzaveh, the beginning of Kisisa, Vayakel and Pekudei. Final parashas in the book of Shemos talk about Mishkan. So if it's talking about Mishkan, why is it say Sheishes Yamim Te Asem Alacha? For 6 days you shall do work. Uvayam Ashvi Yalechem Kodesh. The seventh day is Kodesh. Shabbat Shabbaton LaHashem. It is a Sabbath of Shabbos for God. Call also about malacha, you must. Anyone who does malacha is going to die. So why, if you're talking about Parshas Vayakel, all about malacha samishkan, why do you introduce it with the topic of Shabbos? Furthermore, it says Eila hadvarim asher tziva Hashem. It's the plural. Why Eila hadvarim? These are the things. If you're talking about Mishkan, it just said God commanded for Mishkan. Subsequently, the Torah describes the collection of truma, donation for the Mishkan. We conclude that the plural expression Eila hadvarim introduces both Shabbos and Mishkan. In fact, the Torah introduces the discussion of Mishkan using the same language as the first sentence of the Parsha, Zeh Hadavar. This terminology assumes there is a connection between Shabbos and the building of the Mishkan. Let us look at three other places. There are three other places. So in total, in the Torah, four places where Shabbos and the Mishkan are connected. In Parshas Kisisa, after describing Betzalel and Ho'aliyah, the Torah returns to the subject of Shabbos. Ach es Shabsosai Tishmu. Once again, the beginning of Kitisa is about Malachas HaMishkan. And once again, the Torah says, wait a minute, don't forget to guard the Shabbos. We see once again connection between Mishkan and Shabbos. In Parshas Kitisa, the Mishkan precedes Shabbos. In Parshas Vayakel, Shabbos precedes the Mishkan. What does this come to teach us? What does it come to teach us? That when you're coming to building the Mishkan, it is overridden by Shabbos. Did I say it right? The right way? Binyan HaMishkan does not supersede Shabbos. So even though the sages learn out that you're commanded to build a Mishkan, when it comes to Shabbos, what should we do? stop building. So this is one reason why we have a connection between Shabbos and Mishkan. Chazal learned out from here that even though you have a command to build a Mishkan, and we should have Zrizus Mechdim in the mitzvah, on the other hand, when it comes to Shabbos, stop, which is us, Masranska right there for us on the Malacha that we do, which is where the Lamentas Malachos are based on, just because we think we have so much to do, and we do have a lot to do. And we're so busy, when it comes to Shabbos, you stop what you have to do. Four places where the Torah links Shabbos and the sanctuary. What is the nature of these intertwined concepts? So if Salvechik is such a beautiful he says the answer is fundamental. Shabbos and the Mishkan slash Mikdash both compromise or constitute sanctuaries. When you think of a sanctuary, what do you think? What does a sanctuary bring to mind?
A holy place.
I can't hear.
A holy place, a shul.
Okay. Sanctuary. When you hear the word sanctuary, what do you think? You think shul?
The Shechina?
Okay, so it's interesting. You're all thinking in a holier realm than I am. When I think sanctuary, I think of like place of nature, quiet, yes. Tranquil, a break from everything. My mind necessarily does not go to, your answers were on a more halig plane than my mind. And when I think of sanctuary, I just think of a place removed from the busyness and the hecticness and the... Did you Google it? What a sanctuary. What's the definition of sanctuary? I'd like to know the definition of sanctuary, please. If you Google sanctuary, define, let me know. I want to know what it says. So I don't think of that. I think of a tranquil place, like birds chirping, no light pollution, no noise pollution, a place to escape from the world. That's what I think of when I think of sanctuary. I don't think shul. I mean, that's...
A place of refuge or safety.
A place of
nature reserve.
Ha! Okay, so I'm more with the actual definition than with the kadosh side. That's very interesting. Say it again. A place of refuge or...
The first one is a place of refuge or safety. His sons took sanctuary in the church.
Yeah.
A nature reserve, a bird sanctuary.
I did not look it up before. What is the nature? I promise. What is the nature of these intertwined concepts? The answer is fundamental. Shabbos is a sanctuary and Mishkan is a sanctuary. So the first thing that Chazal learned out is that when it comes to Mishkan, even though you have to do Binyan and Malachas and Mishkan, not on Shabbos. The next thing comes to Salvechik on a level of Drash learns out is that they're both sanctuaries. What's the difference? One is a sanctuary in time. It's such a beautiful pshat. Shabbos is a sanctuary in time. Mikdash slash Mishkan is a sanctuary in space. God wants the Jew to establish a residence for him, Brother Baruch Shalom, both in space and in time. We should communicate, interact with, relate, approach Rebbe Baruch Shalom both through a sanctuary in space, that's represented in the Mishkan. Make your space kadosh to him. Your space should feel like a refuge. You and the Rebbe Baruch Shalom, you have safety from the whole rest of the world. In this space, in my home, in my mikdash ma'ah, in base knesses, wherever you are that God is, which is everywhere, malar is kavod, you should feel refuge in the Rebbe Baruch Shalom. What sanctuary in time? That your time is also kadosh, dedicated, safe. It's a refuge for you and the Rebbe Baruch Shalom. How do you spend your time? The Jew who has prepared properly for Shabbos, listen to this slide, and is about to light his candles. Today my husband said to me this morning, Shabbos is, I think it's 4:11 or something. So for me that's 4 o'clock. The Jew who has prepared properly for Shabbos is about to light his candles, finds himself in the same position as the Jew. I'm not saying it well. I need to say it. It's so beautiful. The Jew who has prepared properly for Shabbos and is about to light the candles finds himself in the same position as the Jew of 2,000 years ago, preparing to enter the sanctuary. Mm-hmm. So when Rav Pinchas writes in our Sefer, we become the Kohanim in the Beis Hamikdash, what immediately comes to mind is this essay. When you're about to usher in Shabbos, you are like the Jew of 2,000 years ago, preparing to enter the Mikdash. Through Tzimtzum, what's Tzimtzum? Who knows? What do you say?
Constricting.
So to constrict or to contract, that's exactly right. Tzimtzum is, we learn Amilus from the Ribbono Shel Olam Ma'hu Af Ata, so tzimtzum is contraction. We learn contraction from the Ribbono Shel Olam, because how could infinity dwell on top of the Aron Kodesh between two Kruvim? Hashem fills the whole world. So how could he dwell in a finite space? This is the Midah of tzimtzum. In terms of Midos, it means to contract from yourself. What does that mean? You feel you're about to become angry, and you don't express your anger. You have contracted. That is midas Tzimtzum. So through Tzimtzum, God squeezed infinity, himself, so to speak, into finitude. He chose to dwell amongst human beings, first in the Mishkan and later in the Beis HaMikdash. On the other hand, infinity separates humanity from God. And yet, God is eminent and close to his people. We become close to Ribbono Shel Olam when we enter his sanctuary because he contracts for us. So to speak, it's a sacrifice, so to speak, on God's part that he contracts for us. We have to prepare to enter his sanctuary. Shabbos embodies a similar idea. On Friday night, we sing Lecha Dodi. Hashem pays us a visit. So just like he came to the Mishkan to dwell in the sanctuary in space, so too he comes to our Mishkan, which is the Mishkan of sanctuary of time. The festivals in Shabbos are different. On Shabbos, Hashem visits the Jewish people. On the festivals, that's the difference? That's exactly right. On Shabbos, Hashem comes to our house. On the Yom Tov, and the Jew goes to the house of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So every single Shabbos, we have a special guest. Every single Shabbos, he comes to our home. Lecha Dodi represents the Shechina knocking on our door. It so much relates to what we've been learning in the Sefer, that the Shechina starts opening because it's knocking on your door. Are you ready? Do you say, please get outside? 5 more minutes. I need to put up the meatballs. I need to do my makeup. I'm not out of the shower. This one's shaving. That one's running around the house. He's knocking on your door. The Gemara recounts the version of a story about Rabbi Yanai. In one version, two versions, in Masech HaShabbos and Bava Kama. In one version, he would wrap himself in his garment, and he would say, come, O bride. And the other version, he would walk to the edge of the field to greet the Shabbos queen. So I looked up the Gemara in one of the places. He references Masech HaShabbos and Bava Kama. So the Gemara says in Masech HaShabbos, Kufiyot Tes Aleph, 119a. Rabbi Chanina mi Ateif, Rabbi Chanina would wrap himself, v'ka'ei apnei demalei Shabta. He would stand towards the evening on Friday, and he would say, bo'u v'neitzei likra Shabbos hamalka. Rabbi Chanina would wrap himself in his finery and he would say, come, let us go out and greet Shabbos queen. So what does Rashi say? Mis Ateif bivigadim na'im, in beautiful Shabbos clothing. And again, it goes back to how we enter the sanctuary and how the Ribbono Shel Olam enters our sanctuary. The Kohanim are chayiv misa if they did not wear the clothing of Kavod and Tiferes. And he would say, Boi Kala. Oh, then Rabbi Yanai, that was the first, okay, that was Rabbi Chanina. He would stand towards evening, he would wrap himself in begadim na'im, and he would say, let's go and greet the Shabbos queen. Rabbi Yanai lavish ma'ainei ma'aliyai Shabbos v'amar. Rabbi Yanai would put on Shabbos clothing and say, bo'i kala, bo'i kala. So one would say, bo'i Shabbos hamalka, the other would say, bo'i kala, bo'i kala. Rashi says, begadim na'im, and what is bo'i kala? Hachi kare le l'shvisa Shabbos mitoch chavivus. He would call her a kala, Shabbos, because of how dear she was. So the footnote is very interesting. Ready? Out of his great love for the day of rest, he referred to Shabbos as a bride. Alternatively, this description reflects the Midrashic teaching that Shabbos is Israel's mate. He was going out to greet his mate. We spent so much time talking about this. Thus, at the time of the arrival of Shabbos, Israel is reunited with its mate. It's like a reunion between the chasan and the kala. And we're the chasan and Shabbos is the kala. And how excited would you be to see the chasan and kala? You would get dressed beautifully if the kala is coming. In a similar vein, Rabbi Chanina called Shabbos a queen because Israel is considered royalty and therefore it's made as a queen. So whether you say Shabbos Hamalka or Bowi Kala, it's because according to this opinion, we are the maid of Shabbos and therefore we dress and we present ourselves and we get ready for the queen, royalty, / the Kala. The idea, says Rav Salvechik, of a sanctuary in space and sanctuary in time makes it clear why the Torah in 4 different places links the idea of Shabbos and Mishkan. It's teaching us that just like you create for God a sanctuary in space, so too for God you must create a sanctuary in time, and that's Shabbos. There's a difference, however. What's the difference? Well, one we no longer have. We have Mikdash Ma'at, but the actual base of Mikdash, Rachman Atzam, we could all go today and see what's on top of our habayis. The Makom HaMikdash is no longer there. There's a difference between the sanctity of Shabbos and that of the tabernacle and the temple, Mishkan and Mikdash. The sanctity of Mikdash can never disappear. Though the physical temple is no longer there, the Shechina is always there. However, you can't enter today the sanctuary in space of Makom HaMikdash. I don't remember what venue we were in, but Rav Asher Weiss, I think he was in the Angus of Udmer, has one to hear, and he was talking about contemporary Shilas that come up today that was it Rav Asher Weiss, that we've never had to deal with before. Through our 2,000 years of galus, we've never had to deal. So he says, now they have shaydas. Can police officers, what do they have to do when they have to go up to Har Habayis? I don't know if you remember, a couple of years ago, two officers were stabbed or killed on her. By the Chevra Kadisha had to go up. It was a big question. How does the Chevra Kadisha go up? Are they allowed to go up? They're not allowed to go up to our Bais. What do they do? They have to take off their shoes, go to the mikveh. He says, we're dealing with shailas that we never had before. The physical temple was destroyed. The Shechina is always there. But now you cannot enter the sanctuary in space. You simply can't go there. Yes, we have Mikdash Ma'at, but today you can't go. The Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. It says, Hinei zeh omeid achar kosoleinu. This one stands behind our wall. Mashkiach min hachalonos, meitzitz min hacharikim. It says about the kosoleinu, our kosal. Hinei zeh omeid achar kosoleinu. This one stands behind our wall, referring to the Shechina. Mashkiach min hachalonos, peering from the windows, meitzitz min hacharikim, looking out of the lattices. What's the difference if you look, if you've been in Israel, if you try and look out the tree sim, what's the difference if I stand here and I face Long Acre and I look out the windows, or if I look through tree sim? It's not a difference for me, but it's a difference for who? Passerby. If I stand here and look out the window, so anyone looking in can see me. But if I'm in Eretz Yisrael and I'm looking out the tree sim, I could see out, but they can't see me. So what is this pasuk describing? Two different conditions of the Shechina vis-a-vis Knesset Yisrael. Hinei zeh omeid achar kosoleinu. Like Rav Soloveitchik says, the Shechina is always there. So hinei zeh omeid achar kosoleinu. The Shechina is always there. However, there's two different conditions. There's mashkiach min achalonos. There's always some sort of partition and galos between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam Rachman Atzam, but it's like a chalon. A chalon is clear. I could see Hashem during times of Gilui Shechina. But there's another condition of meitzitz min acharikim. The Ribbono Shel Olam can see us. This helps us understand the condition of Hester Panim. Rachman Atzam, we cannot see him. His presence is much more removed from us, so to speak, in that we cannot see God, but he can always see us. The Shechina is always there. The Shechina of the Mikdash was of a transcendental nature. A cloud hovered over it by day, a pillar of fire by night. The Shechina was a physical light and a spiritual experience. It was outside of the laws of nature, the Mishkan. Shabbos demonstrates Hashem in nature. Mikdash, Mishkan, miracles, the fire was never extinguished. The Shechina was over it by day in a cloud and a pillar of fire by night, represents supernatural. Shabbos represents finding Hashem, says Rav Soloveitchik, in the natural. Just as God reveals himself through the transcending order of supernatural, he reveals himself in the order of nature. You can experience the Ribbono Shel Olam through the blue sky, through the flowering tree. This is enhanced on Shabbos, which epitomizes nature at rest. Nature is at rest. Now we remember who created nature. The Ribbono Shel Olam created nature. Now I find God through nature. Every individual must pause, as did Rabbi Yanai, to greet God's presence. However, one more paragraph. Shabbos and the Mikdash are two antithetical poles. Shabbos is nature. Mikdash is supernatural. We have survived 2,000 years without the Beis HaMikdash, but we could never have survived without Shabbos. So which one supersedes which? Sanctuary in space or sanctuary in time?
Sanctuary in time.
Sanctuary in space, we have survived. It's unfortunate. We daven every day. I don't mean to minimize or say it sarcastically at all. We daven every day. We said those words this morning. However, we're still here, in a very strong, Baruch Hashem, miraculous fashion. But we cannot enter the sanctuary in space. We have Mikdash Ma'at. We cannot enter the sanctuary in space. Therefore, we have survived 2,000 years without the Beis HaMikdash. We could never have survived without Shabbos. There are two principal commandments, Shabbos and Mishkan. However, Jewish survival is not bound up with the Mishkan. The Mishkan is lofty. The Mishkan is an important place. We must remember, Shabbos is essential to Jewish survival. It is stronger. We pray soon in our day we will experience both the ultimate sanctuary in space and the sanctuary in time. But history has proven, the destiny of Knesset Yisrael has proven that we have survived, unfortunately, very, very well without Mikdash. We could not have survived 1 week without sanctuary in time to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yeah, that's what I wanted to quote from here. Let's go back inside. Any questions or comments, by the way? Okay. So, the Kedusha of Shabbos completely transforms us and our home. We become like Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. And in the chapter on Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, he's going to go much more in-depth into the parallels between us and the Kohanim. They had the Lechem Hapanim, we have Lechem Mishnah. They have the Big Day Kahuna, we have the Big Day Shabbos. They had the Menorah, we have Ner Chanukah. We set a Shabbos table, they had the Shochad. It's not an accident. So we are replicating the sanctuary in space, which has now been destroyed, and bringing the Ribbono Shel Olam into our homes, in our Mikdash Me'ah. This concept will be explained in further chapters. The moment that creates this tremendous transformation, when do you become like a Kohen, is at the moment we welcome Shabbos and usher her in. And that gives a whole different significance to Shabbos. It's not just Shabbos is coming. You have a role. You have a tafkid. You are like the Kohanim serving in the Mishkan / Beis HaMikdash. Greeting Shabbos is a glorious moment. A moment of may he kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, in which every Jew receives a kiss from Hashem. Because remember you said, well, we didn't say, Rav Soloveitchik says that on Shabbos, Hashem comes to us. You haven't seen somebody for a long time, you give them a kiss. You give them a hug, you give them a Shalom Aleichem, a warm handshake. Shabbos comes and Hashem gives you a kiss. But just at that moment, the children are wandering around with nothing to do. Is that how we greet the king? We saw that Rambam refers to Shabbos as a king, the Gemara refers to Shabbos as a queen. So what should we do? Have them sit next to their father in Shul, or next to their mother at home, listening to stories of Shabbos in the homes of tzaddikim. These are special moments. So I'm going to quote, 2 nights ago I gave a whole shiur on decorum and Beis Knesset, based on the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah. I'm not going to quote the same thing I quoted then. I'm quoting from the Sefer, called Chinuch, Contemporary and Timeless. Right? Put up by Torah Web. So this is an essay by Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Tversky. Because why am I bringing this to you? Because we just read the sentence, they should sit next to their father in Shul. Getting the uninterested child to Shul. My kids make fun of me, they say Shul wrong. In a loving way, they make fun of me. I'm not saying Shul. I'm like, B'derech, Ahavas Tzchok. It's Shul, they say. Not Shul, but I don't know if it's because I grew up in Canada. That's what I say. Getting the uninterested child to Shul. It was very cute. We were hosting my nephew for Shabbos once a couple months ago, and he was all of 6 years old. And he says, out of the clue, he says, Auntie Michal, it's not Shul. It's Shul. I said, did my kids tell you to say that? He said, no. Getting the uninterested child to Shul. There has Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Tversky, there has recently been some discussion as to whether parents should force an unwilling child to go to shul. But there are some shuls where I wonder why any youngsters would want to go there. I'm quoting. When one enters the shul, one should recite the following verse, V'ani b'rov chastecha avol v'isacha. It's very interesting because we just talked about entering the sanctuary of God in the peace by yourself. So though we don't have today, Rav Asher Weiss said we have shadows like we never had before. We never had a police force. We never had an army. We never had a Chavra Kedisha that had to go onto our bases. We're never shaydas. What should we do now? This is like new frontiers in halacha. We didn't have these shaydas. Today we don't have the mikdash in space. We do have, Baruch Hashem, access to Yerushalayim. You have to know what to do. But nevertheless, we can't enter the Mikdash in space because it doesn't exist. But we recreate the Kedusha in Beis Knesset. V'ani b'rov chastecha avo v'secha. In your great kindness, God, I will come to your house. Ashtacha ve'al hechel kachacha b'yirusecha. I will prostrate myself in your hechel, in your holy hechel, with great fear. Regrettably, in some shuls, this is all but true. There is no awe of Hashem. If the minyan is scheduled to begin at 8:30 a.m., I see some people strolling in as late as 10 a.m. Again, please, I'm quoting from by Dr. Abram J. Tversky. This is not my own words. I'm going to repeat that. If the minyan is scheduled to begin at 8:30 a.m., I see some people strolling in as late as 10 a.m. It's because we don't appreciate that we're going to the house of Hashem, just like Shabbos, we don't appreciate. Well, I hope that we're all working on ourselves. Even since I started this class, we only started it by Avot time. I will tell you that my appreciation and awareness of what happens on Shabbos has changed in a short time. If meeting is scheduled to begin at 8:30 a.m., I see some people strolling in as late as 10. When I was in medical school, the pathology lecture began promptly at 8, at which time the door to the lecture room was closed. If one arrived at 8:01, you could not enter. The fact that your wife was sick and you had to drop off the baby at your mother, was not taken into account. Nothing short of a court order could have gotten that pathology door open. You had better believe we had respect for pathology! Exclamation mark. Now, I understand in Yahadus we do take personal needs into consideration. There's that famous story. Does anyone remember which Hasidish Rav it was? He was walking to show his Kol Nidre, their Wayne Star Kol Nidre, and he's not there. And when he finally gets there, they said, "Where was the rabbi? We were waiting." He said he heard a baby crying on the way and he had to go help. I don't remember which rabbi it was. I'm sure someone remembers, or someone listening to this will remember. So I understand in Yahadus there are sometimes extending considerations taken into account, but overall he's talking about a general pervasive attitude that does exist, unfortunately, in our society. And I sometimes think about it, like if you've ever had to take a family member to the hospital, they give you sometimes very early slots. You have to be there very early in the morning. You are there when they tell you to be there. You don't sleep in. There's no such thing. You're there when they tell you you need to be there. I've had this experience a number of times, and you're there on time. You have a tremendous sense of awe and trepidation, and you're there. You had better believe we had respect for pathology! Exclamation mark. The Talmud states that when davening, one should see himself as if standing before Hashem. He's quoting from Maseches Brachos Chav Ches Beis. If one does not feel he is addressing Hashem, his verbalizations are not tefillah. Yeah, sometimes I'm davening, so my place of davening called Hakoveh Makom Tefillah. So Halavai, Halokei Avraham BeEzra, is in the chair in my living room. Sometimes the kids talk to me like I could be in the middle of Shema Esrei. It just happened that I'm in the middle of Shema Koleinu. And I don't have such little kids in my house. I have very respectful children, but you know they need to tell their mother something. The Muslim, and I'm thinking, I'm in the middle of Shema Koleinu, and this Baruch Hashem, that's what's meant to be. But we have to try and instill in ourselves, and of course in our family, the idea that if one does not feel he is addressing us, you're not just reading words from the Siddur. I'm talking to the King. His verbalizations are not tefillah. If the shul is a place of awe where one can communicate with God, people should be respectful enough to be there on time. Some people are more precise with being at the theater on time than they are with synagogue attendance. Then there is the inexcusable practice of conversing during services. So that's what my whole shiur was about on Wednesday night. It wasn't my words at all. It was the Aruch Chaim, the Ramban, the Shulchan Aruch. Everything was based, and the Mishnah Berurah, I'm sorry. That's why I'm not going to go through the whole thing I spoke on Wednesday night. Then there is the inexcusable practice of conversing during services. In one shul, the rabbi had to stop the chazan a number of times until silence could be restored. It's interesting because we spent this past Shabbos in Fort Lee, New Jersey. Extremely interesting community. Very, very active community of retirees, growing community of retirees. It was very, very interesting. Their children mostly live in New Jersey, so they moved from America, Montreal, all different places to meet their kids. It was fascinating, welcoming, warm, lovely community. Very interested in the shiurim and the learning, lovely Rabbi Rebbetzin. But what's interesting is I noticed that a few times during the evening, Rabbi Goldberg stopped the chazen or the balka, or they stopped until it was quiet. He stopped the services, the goings on, until there was silence. So in one shul, he says, the rabbi had to stop the chazan. He didn't do it like with fire and brimstone. He wasn't screaming at anybody. He just stopped until the talking stopped. A number of times until silence could be restored. I cannot think of a chil Hashem greater than conversing during services. So I'm not going to repeat my Wednesday night shiur, but I will tell you that the Mishnah Berurah, the Chavetz Chaim, writes how great this sin is. This is commentary to Shulchan Aruch Kuf Chav Dalet Zayin. He says, we have seen a number of batei knisios nechrav ba'avon zeh. You've seen shuls mamish destroyed. You could look up. I just told you where the source is in Mishnah Berurah on your own. I cannot think, says Rabbi Dr. Avram J. Tversky, of a chil Hashem greater than this. Little wonder that the Shulchan Aruch, oh, now he quotes it, says this is an unforgivable sin. I didn't tell it to you. I told you Mishnah Berurah, a term not even applied to eating treif. Or Chaim calls it avono gadol minso. The sin is too great to bear. That is a paraphrase from when Cain killed Hevel. Cain says to God, Gadol avoni minso, is my sin too great to bear? Hashem actually taka forgives him. But by talking in shul during the Chazar Sashat, Shulchan Aruch writes, your sin is too great to bear. Says Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Tversky, it's a term not even applied to eating treif, not kosher. A shul is a mikdash ma'at, which we spent the first part of shir talking about, a smaller version of the Holy Temple. He actually quotes Aruch Chaim, who says that, and yet some still maintain a kiddush club, where children see their parents drinking to excess. If we're worried about the spiritual and physical health of our children, rather than giving them speeches, we should behave in a certain way. How on earth can one expect young people to want to attend shuls like this? One worshiper responded when I criticized and I said a shul is not a place for a social kiddush club. He replied, one worshiper responded to my criticism with, what's the problem? A shul is a social club. With what right may you force a child to attend a social club? So, of course, we love to see our friends. We don't have so much time during to catch up, but that could be after tefillah. We're talking about during tefillah itself. If your child has no interest in davening, that may be remedied by spending 10 minutes a few times a week, maybe a bit more on Shabbos, going over the parts of prayer, explaining the tefillah to him or her. This can arouse interest in what is otherwise just words. It's so hard, you know. I didn't think to bring it. Does anyone have a pen on the table? Thank you so much. I want to try and remember to bring it next time. One second, please. Sorry, I'm just making a note for myself. Thank you. So in Portraits of Prayer by Rabbi Eliezer Abish, he tells over a story that I don't remember it exactly, so I'm going to look it up later, but that he was once talking to his younger cousin who lives in Israel, and they were talking about the difference in learning Chumash and in Tefillah, and he asked how long they spend on Chumash, he asked how long we spend, how long they spend on Tefillah, how long we spend, but the point came out in the conversation that we have to spend longer because the children don't understand the words. Like when we learn Chumash, we have to spend longer because we have to translate from there's to be taich from Lashon HaKodesh into English. So she said, what do you do about davening? So he said, what do you mean? What do we do about davening? We daven. She says, but it must take so long. If the children don't understand the words, everything has to be translated. So he said that one comment from a young child made him think, what are we doing? We don't understand the words. And this applies to myself too, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, that sometimes the Maisi could show me a phrase from Tefillah, and that question I have to ask myself, do I really understand what I'm saying? So if we're not interested in Tefillah, if we don't know what we're saying, if I'm just reading words that I can pronounce but I don't understand them, then how can I have aroused interest in what is just words? And how can my children have interest in what is just words? This may take some preparation on behalf of the parent. In other words, I have to prepare so the children know. There are a number of books on tefillah that can make your prayers more interesting. If you cannot spare the time to help your child develop interest in tefillah, I doubt you can be critical of his or her lack of interest in davening. I am not saying anything, but I'll go get this book. It's called Chinuch Contemporary and Timeless. It's very beautiful. It's many different essays by different rabbeim and rashi yeshivas, and I'm just quoting from Rabbi Dr. Tursky K. If you cannot spare the time, he's talking to Michal Hartz, to help your children develop interest in tefillah, I doubt you can be critical of your child's lack of interest in tefillah. If we make shul respectful and the tefillos meaningful, our children are more likely to want to attend. And if it's just a social club and they could have fun outside shul and they could have fun inside shul, so why do I want to come here? I want to just quote from the Mishnah Brura, actually, going back to, so I finished this section by Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Tversky. He points out, earlier in the piece, the idea of being on time. And what I think of is when I had to be in the hospital for surgery for my family members, you are there on time. You had better believe we had respect for pathology. If a shul is a place of awe, I'm repeating one sentence, where one can communicate with God, we should be respectful enough to be there at 8:30. Some people are more precise with being at the theater on time. I think at the theater they lock the doors. So is that correct?
After a few minutes.
So you can't get in.
Until intermission.
Say it again.
I think until intermission you can't go in.
So you're going to be there on time. Why? Because you have an understanding that I'm going to miss something very important if I'm not there on time. So the Shulchan Aruch, okay, the Shulchan Aruch was composed by Rav Yosef Karo in the 1500s. I was in a shul in Tzfa this past summer, big schuss. Begins, and it's the code, the magnum opus code of Jewish law. Yisgaber, this is his opening words. Before we start talking about halacha, what do you have to know about being a Jew? What's the first thing, you know? First impressions are lasting. Yisgaber ka'ari, la'amod baboker, la'avodos boro. Sheyehehu me'orer hashachar. Yisgaber ka'ari, I'm going to now translate it. You should make yourself a gibor. I said I'm going to translate it. Gibor is translated as a courageous person. You have to rouse yourself like a lion. La'amod baboker, to stand up, to wake up in the morning. La'avodos boro. Why do you have to wake up early in the morning? Because you're going to serve your creator. Sheyehehu me'orer hashachar. You know what that means? It means you should be the one waking up the morning, so to speak, and not the morning waking up you. You should precede the morning. So, haga. You have to listen to the first words of the Rama. Rav Yosef Karo in the 1500s compiled, according to the Sephardic Piskei Halacha, his magnum opus in Halacha. They told of Moshe Israelis, who was working his whole life on compiling Halacha according to Ashkenazic Minhag. You know, somebody just published the same thing. And instead of being a Baal Gaiva, he said, I'm going to put my notes into his notes. So they came together. So the Shulchan Aruch is Rav Yosef Karo. The Ramah, the Haga, the glosses are of Moshe Israelis. So they paskin, the Sfarim paskin according to Rav Yosef Karo. We paskin according to Moshe Israelis. We learn both of them. Along comes the Mishnah Brura in the late 1800s of Mishnah Brura Chafetz Chaim. 1800s, he died in 1933, and he further clarified Halacha for us. So what is the first, that's the first thing that the Rav Yosef Karo says, Yisgaber ka'ari la'ama babokra la'avodos boro. Sheyehu ma'ora shachar. I should wake up the morning shouldn't wake up me. What does the Ramah first say? Al kol panim, lo ya'acher zman hatfila. Shehatzibur mispalin. So what does it mean you should be on time in the morning? Along comes the Ramah and says, I'll tell you what it means. Al kol panim lo ya'acher zman hatfila shad tzibur mispalim. That means we have so much to do. Okay, so we're not going to shul every morning. Chamim is on shul, on Shabbos. You have children at home, young children, they don't belong in shul, they're running all over the place. The Mishnah Berurah says that in the Cliff of Dal Zion. But still, we have to know when I am davening. Why? Haga shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamid hu kal gadol b'tor v'malso sadikam asher hochim lifnei ha'elokim. Ki ein yeshiva, do I need to translate that? I don't need to translate that. Shivisi Hashem lenegli samir ukal gadov v'torah ma'asas adikam asher ochim v'nei alokim. Ki ein yeshivas ha'adam utnu osav v'asaka v'hu levada b'veso. Ki yeshivaso usnu osav v'asaka v'hu lifnei melech gadov. Because the behavior of a person, how he sits, how he behaves, what he's busy with when he's by himself in his house, is not like his behavior, how he sits and how he behaves and what he's busy with when he is before a great king. So on Shabbos, the Shechina comes to my home. So is Shabbos in my home like a Thursday in my home, like a Wednesday night in my home, like a Tuesday night in my home? But it's not the same thing. I know we're always before Hashem. I'm not by myself anymore. Now Hashem Mamash is in my house. Velo diburo v'harchavas piv kirtzono v'hu im anshe beso ukravav kidiburo b'moshe v'melech. The way you talk and the way you interact with those around you is not how you talk when you're before a great king. Kol shekein kishayasi ma'adam alibo shehamelech hagadol hakadosh baruch hu asher melo kares kivodo omed alav. How much more so when I realize that the king of all kings is standing before me, v'ro b'masov, and sees my deeds. You know, like the pasuk says, im yisaser ish b'mistarim v'ani lor enunu Hashem. Just because someone is in the hidden places, you think I don't see him. It relates to mashkiach min achalalot, meitzitz min acharikim. Just because I can't see the Ribbono Shel Olam, just because my kids can't see him in Shema Kaleinu, so I have to work harder on instilling in my children and in myself that just because I can't see the Ribbono Shel Olam with my physical eyes, my neshama sees him and he's right there. He's always made seats men acharikim. I wanted to say something. Miyad yagir elav hayira. Immediately, you should have awe, the hachna'a, and humility, bepachar Hashem yisparach. Uvashto mimenu tamid. I should have busha before him always. Velo yispayish mipnei adam hamaligim Allah bavodas Hashem yisparach. Listen carefully, because it's going to relate to conduct in shul. V'lo yispayesh, you should have busha and pachad before Hashem. V'lo yispayesh mipnei b'nei adam hamalikim ala b'lis Hashem yisparach. You should not be embarrassed before your fellow human being who mocks you and scoffs you in your holy work. Listen, so you know, it's interesting, because after Wednesday night shir, someone said the recorder was already off. She said, so it was all about talking shul. It wasn't my own points at all. It was very harif, but it wasn't me. It was the Shulchan Aruch. It was Rabbi Moshe Israelis, and it was the Mishnah Berurah. Everyone could look it up inside and see what they say. You could go online and listen to the Shir. And she said, it's a problem. She said, sometimes there's someone in shul and who starts to talk, Nisroli Osar, Alagab. Says, what should I do? You're embarrassed before a person. So what are the opening words? It's to all of us. I'm not talking to others, I'm talking to myself. What are the opening words? I should be more embarrassed before who? The Ribono Shel Olam. So if I have to tell somebody, I've taken it upon myself, I don't talk and they're going to be insulted, you say it in a nice way. I'll talk to you after the evening's over. You could say it in a nice way. But beferish lo yispayish mipnei b'nei adam hamaligim alav bodas Hashem yisparach. Gam behatznei alachas. It's a paraphrase from Micha. Uvishach b'cho al mishkavo. Even when you walk, behatznei, it should be with tznias. And when you lay on your bed, yeda lifnei mi hu shochev. Umiyad sheya'or mishnaso yakum bizrizos. Immediately when you wake up from your sleep, you should get buzrizus. It's hard. Sometimes we're tired. You have to get buzrizus. And Shabbos Hashem's in your house. A little bit more. It's not appropriate. They close the door to pathology. And we better bet we had respect. And they close the door to the theater. And you can't get it. It's very important. What are you going to miss? Actors on the stage running around naked practically? What are you missing? You should call Yisha. What am I missing? But I'm late for Hashem. Bizrizos la'avodos boro yisparach v'yisala. I really wanted to quote the Mishnah Brura also. Should I finish with the Mishnah Brura? Our time's up, so I'm asking your permission. Leia, do you need us to get out?
No.
Can I have 2 minutes?
Yeah, sure. I just feel bad if it's going to be noise. My voice just came more from Shul, it sounds like. But you have 2 minutes for sure.
Okay, fine. It won't take more than 2 minutes. Blinair. Mishnah Brura, 3. La'avodos boro. So along comes the Chavetz Chaim 400 years later, and he says, Ki lekach, it's your house, so if you need me.
No,
okay?
No, go ahead, yeah.
Ki lekach nivra ha'adam. Why should you get up with such zrizus? Ki lekach nivra. And you know, it's hard because sometimes you think of Shabbos as your off day. Adaraba. He's even more in your house. It's not my off day at all. It's even a more heightened sense of the Shechina. Bo'i kala, Shabbos malkasa. Ki lekach nivra adam. That's why you were created. Kamosha amar kasa. Okay. Va'af im yashi enu yitzro b'chorif. Listen to this. And you could imagine in Europe in the 1800s, even more than in the comforts of Aram. It was cold. Af im yashienu yitzur b'chorif lomar eich ta'amon b'boker, akar gadol. In the winter, the Yetzer Hara says, how could you get up? It's so cold. Today we have heat. Oh, yashienu b'kayitz lomar. How did the Chofetz Chaim know this? In the summer, the Yetzer Hara says, eich ta'amon b'mitascha. You're going to get out of your bed. Adayin lo savata mishnasecha. In the winter, he says, it's too cold. And he still says it's too cold. In the summer, he says, it's the lazy days of summer. You didn't fulfill your quota of sleep. Yisgaber alav al yishkmalo. Don't listen to him. Be a gibor. And you should think in your soul, ilu haya nitzrach la'amal d'shar sifnei melech basar v'dam. If I had to wake up, because I have an appointment with a king of flesh and blood, kama haya zahir v'zariz la'amal b'hashkama. I would be mizareis. I would be on guard and with alacrity. I would get up early. I would prepare myself. I would get dressed for Shabbos. I would be there on time. I would daven before I have a piece of coffee and cake in the morning. You're not allowed to eat before Kiddush, but sometimes we don't pay attention to the halacha. I'm not talking about extenuating circumstances. You have a heter. I'm talking about derech klal. Not allowed to. Tefillah comes first. I can't have coffee and biscuit. And I'm not allowed. Kol shekein kal v'chomer ben beno. Shall kal v'chomer. I can't even translate into English. Kol shekein, kal v'chomer. Ben beno, shall kal v'chomer. How much more so? How much more so? How much more so? Lifnei melech malchim, melechim akash baruch. For the king of all kings, the Ribono Shel Olam. So, Shabbos Hashem, we should have a good Shabbos. I hope everybody took one nekuda.